Listen to the word of God. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 is a missionary chapter, the Christ ambassador chapter. Today is third time in studying of this same chapter, 10 from verse 17 to 33. Okay. Matthew chapter 10, 17 through 33. Are you evangelist? Are you Christ witness? As I mentioned many, many times, Matthew chapter 10 is a missionary chapter. If we are evangelists in this world, if we are Christ witness, this chapter is just for us, for you and for me. Amen? Let me start verse 17, and next verse is yours. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. Brother will betray brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. So, don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Amen. Together, but whoever disowns, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Amen. In this section, there are some terrible words. But conclusion, don't worry. If I say the conclusion of this sermon in advance, don't worry. Don't fear. Fear not. Anyway, the atmosphere of this section we read now is different from that, the previous section. First, Jesus, our Lord, speaks of persecution, suffering, arrest. As we know, in the opening instruction, in first section, Jesus says to the 12, do not go to the Gentiles. But Here, Jesus speaks of the ministry to the Gentiles in verse 18. Also, at that time, the Holy Spirit had not been given to them. But here, Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit speaking through them. And finally, Jesus mentions his return in verse 23. So it means it is very clear that Jesus is preaching this ordination sermon not only to the 12 apostles at the time, but also to all his missionaries, evangelists. At this sermon, Jesus has something to say to all his workers, all his witnesses, past, present, and even future. First, Jesus speaks of persecution. Do you like persecution? Shall we read verse 17, 18. Shall we read together two verses? Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils. They will flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as what witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Yes, you know, we can be deeply impressed with the honesty of Jesus Christ, our King. Jesus never hesitated to tell us what we may expect if we follow him. That is persecution. You know, as for humans, as for human kings, human president, they say all the time good things if people follow them. For example, in case of a presidential election campaign, each candidate say, oh, if I become president, I will do this, I will do that, that, such and such, for you, for this country, for our country. Each candidate never say bad things, weak points, if people accept him or her as president. Imperfect president says as if he were perfect in their campaign. But perfectly perfect presidents, our Lord Jesus says, as if he were imperfect, very humbly and honestly. Yes, our Lord Jesus is so honest, faithful, truthful, so he is only deserving, worthy to be believed in, to be trusted in, to be depended on. But Jesus says in next verse, opposition. Persecution offers more opportunities to present the gospel. Some may think persecution may make our faith weaker, our ministry smaller, but the opposite is true. The church history shows it is very clear that the kingdom of heaven has become bigger and bigger, larger and larger, stronger and stronger through persecution. Yes, our Lord Jesus got opportunity to stand and to testify the truth of heaven before Governor Pontius Pilate at the time through persecution, accusation, trial. Also, Paul, a great missionary, Paul in church history, he obtained wonderful opportunities to stand and witness about his salvation, his testimony about the kingdom's truth before the Sanhedrin, before governors Felix, Festus, also King Agrippa, even Roman Emperor Caesar through persecution, through sufferings. Anyway, in spite of so many persecutions, we don't need to worry. Why? Shall we see next verses? Verse 19:20 says, "But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will be given you speaking. It will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Do you worry if you will be persecuted because of your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you worry? We don't worry. Why? Because our Lord, our King, our Savior, Jesus says, "Don't worry." Jesus' word, "Don't worry," is enough reason for us not to be worried. Also, persecution for Christ makes our faith stronger, our ministry larger, our reward bigger, also our assurance deeper. But in next verse, there is a mention of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book Matthew, the Gospel Matthew, there are only two times mention of the Holy Spirit. In first case is, as we know, Jesus' water baptism by John in chapter 3, at which the Holy Spirit came down and remained on Jesus as a dove. And the other case is here. It is the Holy Spirit speaking through you. But we must not use this sentence as an excuse not to study the Word of God in preparation for our teaching, for our witnessing, for our preaching. What does this mean? Yes, of course, we must prepare. We must be ready. We must study. But we must not worry. This means in case of emergency of persecution, arrest, suffering, tribulation, the Holy Spirit will do his job through us supernaturally. Why? Because the testimony of Jesus Christ, the witnessing of Jesus Christ, is the very own job of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Shall we see next verse? Verse 21, 22 says continually up to 23. Verse 21, 22, 23. Brother will betray brother to death. Did you experience this case? Brother will betray brother to death. And the father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men, how many? All men will hate you because of me, Jesus Christ our King. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man, Jesus Christ our King, comes. First verse says, brother kills brother, parents kill children, children kill parents. Is it possible? Yes, it may happen physically, but it is more true in spiritual world. You know, yes, true death, eternal destruction results from the rejection of Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Imagine, think about it. If you have ever been suggested or advised or forced, compelled not to believe in Jesus Christ, not to follow Jesus Christ, from whom have you ever been? The one we never know, the one we don't know, never forces us not to believe in Jesus Christ, not to follow Jesus Christ. and says continually, all men will hate you because of me, Jesus Christ. All men. In this context, who are all men? All men means all men who hate Jesus Christ. Yes, this sentence, all men will hate you because of Jesus Christ, seems more related to the last day of last days as worldwide scale persecution. But even today, this is true. Yes, today, all men who hate Jesus Christ hate Jesus followers, Jesus evangelists, Jesus advertisers, Jesus propagators, Jesus propagandists, Jesus announcers. If you want to know whether it is true or not, just try and prove. Announce Jesus Christ. Proclaim Jesus Christ outside. Then all who hate Jesus Christ will hate you. Still, this sentence is very, very true and real in our days. Then Jesus says, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Yes, we know the persistence, patience, perseverance is another means to earn salvation. We know we are saved by grace. Amen?
Amen.
We are saved by grace, not by persistence, perseverance, or patience. We are saved through faith, not by works. But if we are really, really saved by grace through faith, we are to work out our salvation with perseverance, persistence, and patience. And Jesus says, finally, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until my second coming. Yes, we know. Among us, no one can say, I finished my mission in this world. Among us, who can say, I finished my mission in this world. As long as we are here in this world, as long as we live in this world, nobody can say, I finished my mission in this world. Yes, we will finish my mission given to us from God when Jesus returns, or when we go to him face to face. But Jesus' encouragement as conclusion is, fear not, do not be afraid of men. Do not be afraid of men. Fear not. Do you fear? Do you fear? Fear not. Fear not. You know, three times repeated, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. In verse 26 and 28 and 31, three times we can see same sentence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. But afraid, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. The emphasis is do not fear. Do not be afraid. Especially the particular fear Jesus mentions is explained in verse 32 and 33. Whoever, last two verses says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not fear. It means do not fear to confess Jesus Christ openly before men. The fear of confessing Jesus Christ before men. Do you fear? Please be honest to this question. Do you fear to confess Jesus Christ before men outside, not inside the church building, not in this room, but outside this church building? Do Do you fear to confess, to proclaim, to acknowledge Jesus Christ before men, before very strong men? But we must not fear. Let me show you. Let me say you several reasons, several grounds why we should not fear. Why we should not fear to confess Jesus Christ before men. First reason, fear not, shall we say together? Fear not. Why? Because suffering is to be expected. Suffering is very natural, not unnatural. Shall we read verse 24 and 25? Two verses, 24, 25. A student is not above his teacher, nor servants above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servants like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? You know, in his earthly ministry, our Lord Jesus, our King, was called by them, by outsiders, as Beelzebub. Yes, Jesus is our King. We are his people. Jesus is our teacher. We are his student. Jesus is our master. We are his servant. Jesus is our Lord. We are his. Jesus is our God. We are his creation. Then, at first, Jesus was persecuted for us. Now is our turn. The disciple does not outrank the master. Imagine, our Lord Jesus was called by outsiders Beelzebub. Do you know Beelzebub means Satan, the symbol of Satan. The literal meaning of Beelzebub is the Lord of the dung. Do you know dung? In Korean pronunciation, similar, dong, dong. Beelzebub means the king of dong, the king of dong. They called our Lord, our King, Jesus, the king of dong, the king of the dong. Dong의 왕, Dong의 왕, the king of the dong. Still today, they will say, they will call the same things about his followers. But we should count it as privilege to suffer for him, with him. 1 Peter 2:21 says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you first and leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Second reason why we should not fear. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because God will bring all things to light someday. Do you believe this? Today there are many, many things hidden, closed, concealed. But someday, one day, God will bring all things, including our secrets, including our motivation, exposed, revealed to light. Do you believe this? If we believe this, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to hide before God, before our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall you see verse, next verse, 24, 25. Fear, so 26, 27. Fear not. Shall you say it together? Fear not. Why? Because God will bring everything to light. Verse 26, 27 says, so do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Yes, we know the enemies of Christ use secret and deceptive means to oppose the gospel. But true believers, true Christians, true children of God are open, very open and courageous in their lifestyles, in their witness. We have nothing to hide before our Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, false witnesses lied about Jesus Christ during his accusation and trials. But God saw to it that the truth came out. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Why? Because we know that one day, someday, God will reveal the secrets of man's heart and expose them and judge them. You know, if we are truly Christian, the present judgments of men cannot threaten us, cannot frighten us. Why? Because we are living in the light of the future judgments of God. He is the final judge. There will be final judgment. We will stand individually before judgment seat. And next reason why we should not fear. Shall we say it together? Fear not. Why? Why? Because we fear God alone. Hallelujah. Do you fear God? Conclusion. If you fear God truly, really, there is nothing we fear in this world. Verse 28 says, shall we read together? Verse 28, loudly. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is the one? Big letter, capital letter one. Who is this capital letter one? God, our King, Jesus Christ. Yes, we know all that human beings can do is to kill the body. If they do this, true believer go to the eternal home to be with Lord. But our God, our King Jesus, he is able to destroy both soul, spirit, and body in hell. But God never condemned one of his children. We know Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has already eternal life, will not be condemned. Why? Because he has passed over from death to eternal life. You know, the book in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes starts, everything is useless, vanity. Useless, totally useless in the life without God. Then this book, Ecclesiastes, closes like this. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Because this is the whole duty, whole responsibility, whole jobs, whole business of human beings. You know, the person who fears God alone truly, really need never fear any person, anything, any problem. Please remember, the fear of God destroys all other fears. Fear of God is the fear that destroys, overcome all other fears. Please remember, if we fear God truly, there is nothing in this world we fear. Last reason, let me say one more thing, the reason why we should not fear. shall say, fear not. Why? Because God cares for his own. Because God cares for his own children. God cares for his own people. Verse 29 through 31. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Do you know penny? Smallest coin, penny. Yet, not one of them will fall to the ground, apart from the will of your Father. And even the hair, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Can you count the number of your hairs? So, verse 31. So, do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You know, Luke 12, 6 says, five sparrows sold for 2 pennies. It means we can buy 2 sparrows for 1 penny. But we can get 5 sparrows for 2 pennies. It means sparrows were so cheap that the dealer gave an extra one. Yet God knows whenever 1 sparrow fall down to the ground. God is there. The sparrow is falling down on the ground. God is there. Imagine if God cares for sparrows in such a marvelous, wonderful ways, how much more for his children. To God, we are of greater value. We are much more important, much more valuable than all of sparrows. Do you believe this? God is concerned about all of the details of our lives. Yes, we know. Even the hairs, the very hairs of our heads are numbered, not counted in total, but numbered individually. God sees 1 sparrow fall down. If this is true, I believe without doubt, whenever each hair of my head is gone away, God watches. God watches. Hallelujah. Don't despise my hairs. God is watching my hairs. That's true. God cares for big jobs. God cares not only big jobs, big problems, situation of our life, but also every its smallest, tiniest details in our lives. Why don't you trust in the Lord with your whole heart? Why don't you acknowledge him in every ways? Then he will make our ways, your stress, my path, straight. This is the promise of our God continually. There is one reason why we should not fear, but let us see continually next time. May God bless all of us with his wonderful encouragements. Do not worry and fear not, because I'm your King, your Savior, and your Lord. May God bless all of us with his wonderful words, living words. Shall we pray together? Father God, thank you for your living words. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your will. Father, we know even the very hairs of our heads are numbered individually by you. Father, thank you for your caring for not only big problems, big jobs, but also the smallest things in our lives. Thank you for your wonderful kindness in us, among us, as our loving Father. Father God, please help us to fear you alone so that we may be free from all fears of this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.